Hey, speak for yourself, listeners. Before we start the show, I wanted to tell you about our brand new Fox Sports app and website, foxsports.com, reimagined for the modern sports fan. Go ahead, download the new app now. You don't even have to pause this episode. Every day on the new app and website, you'll see the top stories in sports, plus a rich world of written content, videos, social media, and analytics to give you a 360-degree view of the most important stories of the day. Streaming live TV has never been so easy or elegant. Every Fox Sports game, including all pregame and postgame shows, are just one click away. For the extra invested fan, we also go deep with real-time wagering lines, trending prop bets, win probability, and key player projections. So download the new Fox Sports app or visit www.foxsports.com. Now, let's start the show. Welcome to Speak for Yourself, presented by Hyundai. Marcel Swiley, my man, old money suit wearing Emmanuel Acho.
It's time to bring out the three-piece.
It's time to go there?
It's time.
Oh, man, broached up as well. Well, let's get it started, big dog, with Tom Brady, who arrived at the Bucs facility yesterday to get ready for a season that has many people predicting a Super Bowl for Tampa Bay. Brady has six rings, but the year he didn't win it all in 2007 was arguably his best overall season, throwing a then-record 50 touchdowns. Former NFL running back and my former teammate Maurice Jones-Drew thinks Brady in 2020 will be even better than 2007. Take a listen to this.
He's going to thrash 2007. I think he's going to throw 55 touchdowns, 4,500 yards passing, probably close to 5,000. The Bucs are going to be one of the toughest teams to stop, because their defense causes turnovers and they get him more opportunities. Jameis Winston joined the 30-30 club. Let's just cut that in half, right? So now it's 45-15. You telling me Tom Brady can't throw 10 extra touchdowns?
Acho, take it easy on my former teammate, my boy. Any chance Brady throws 55 touchdowns? I know.
Here's the thing, bro. Woo. When I read it, I thought it was ludicrous.
Yeah.
But when I heard it, I found it laughable.
Yeah.
Like, it's even comical.
Worse. Even worse.
Even worse. MJD, I love this game. Mm. I love this game. Mm. But his analysis, that is suspect, bro. Here's my thing. Let me start here with the math of it all.
Oh.
So we know that Jameis Winston joined the exclusive, or not so positively exclusive, 30 for 30 club, right? 30 interceptions, 30 touchdowns. MJD's math says, well, if you take 15 of those interceptions away and you give them to Tom Brady, not that you're going to give them as completions or incompletions, but we're just going to assume Tom Brady is going to throw 15 touchdowns.
Oh, just assume.
Just assume.
Just assume.
He's going to make that
assumption. It's going to happen.
We just knew that. But then furthermore, bro, I'm like, wait a second now. When Tom Brady had his best season, his best season, Marcellus,
yes,
2007.
Uh-huh.
Tom Brady, he was my age.
Okay.
Right now, he's about to be your age. Okay? It's just not going to happen, Marcellus.
Right.
It's not going to happen. Look, and then lastly, you got to think about, bro, 07, when Brady threw 50 of them joints, 50 tugs, he had Randy Moss. Randy Moss broke the NFL record with 23. He had Wes in his prime, Ben Watson in his prime. Like, I love the dogs they have in Tampa.
Yeah.
Evans, Godwin, I love them cats.
Right.
But to throw for 55,
right,
that's just ludicrous, bruh.
Yeah, it is. It's crazy right here. Look, no way he's throwing for two nickels. No way he's throwing for... And we cut the sound. He even thought he was going to go for 60, but he said, let me be reserved right now.
And that was reserved?
Yeah. That's me. I know Mojo. Mojo crazy now. Mojo went out there and said something that it made me almost not want to do my homework and do my analysis as normal, because I was like, this is too easy. But I still did my work on this
one. Do your work.
Do my work. Okay, the last four seasons Tom Brady has had in his decline... Now, let's respect he didn't have the same assets. No Randy Moss. And obviously not what he has in Tampa Bay right now. But 28 touchdowns, 32, 29, and 24. You can literally combine a couple of those seasons and still not get two nickels out of that.
Oh, my God.
Let alone, you're saying now, in this pandemic, people don't know before these cameras come on, we sitting here with a mask on.
We are.
I don't even know if that's Acho for real, because you're just 6 feet away with a mask on. Tom Brady has not been able to work out as normal with his teammates, with his coaching staff. Limited offseason, limited training camp we're talking about. And then he's going to come in with this roster that everyone says, no way he can throw under 50, 55 touchdowns. Well, let me tell you what we say in our defensive meetings, because it used to crack me up. And it used to be mind-boggling when a defensive coordinator would come into meetings and have the scouting report.
And no matter how great the talent was, Barry Sanders, Peyton Manning, he would have a negative column for that same team and personnel. You'd be like, how are you going to find a list of bad things to say about Barry Sanders? Defensive coordinators do. Let me give you a list of bad things to say about the Tampa Bay Bucks. How did Gronk do last year? Oh, he didn't do, because he wasn't playing. O.J. Howard, how great have you been in your career? You can add up all of his total receiving yards, and it adds up to like one Gronk season. Maybe. Ooh. Now we start looking at Jones at running back. Good, but not great. Mm-hmm. Okay, let's start looking at Mike Evans. Tremendous receiver. Not a blazer. Catches a lot of 50-50 balls. Jameis Winston being aggressive as a quarterback, throwing those 50-50 balls. Is Tom Brady going to do the same thing? And then you get Chris Godwin. I ain't going to say nothing about him. I love that dude. Love that dude. He got it all. But the point is, you can look at this offense and poke holes in it. And MJD didn't seem like he wanted to poke any
holes. He didn't. But now, in MJD's defense, because you know me by now, Marcellus, I don't walk both sides, but I don't like to just knock somebody without giving a defense and some logic. Yeah. In his defense, quarterbacks coached by Bruce Arians, they put up big numbers,
okay,
right? We think about Big Ben, had one of his best statistical seasons when Bruce Arians was around that organization. You think about Carson Palmer, had his best statistical season under Bruce Arians. You think about Andrew Luck early on, I believe his first or so season. When you have Bruce Arians, when you have B.A., that Mad Hatter back there in the helmet, at head coach, he's going to give you big numbers. But the worrying part of this whole thing is Bruce Arians has always had big arm quarterbacks put up big numbers.
Yeah, say that.
Tom Brady is not the same big arm quarterback that we're used to. So even if Tom Brady was capable schematically, because schematically I think this offense is capable of putting up 55 touchdowns with the quarterback, Tom Brady is not that quarterback to do it. In 07, he threw for 50. His next most was 39 touchdowns. He did that in 2011. Next most, 36 touchdowns. He did that in 2010. Mm. But we just haven't really seen it lately. I can't see it. Now, my faith has to be my eye.
Okay, I agree with that. Can you help me out? You went to a state school, I know, Texas, like Mojo went to state school, you said, like, help me out with this math. When he says the 30 for 30 club, and then he says, let's cut that in half, and then he says 45 and 15, I don't know if that's half. You added 15 and you took away 15. That's another kind of math I ain't used to yet. Let's move on to the Super Bowl champion, Chiefs. Who, if you thought they would be satisfied with just one title, you'd be wrong. Defensive end Chris Jones said the Chiefs will win 5 rings. Well, if that wasn't enough, yesterday Tyreek Hill, Mr. Fast Man himself, upped the ante saying, quote, why say 5? Why not go 7 rings? Right now we're chasing Jordan, so that's what we do. So I'm going over 5, and I'm saying 7. Well, the holder of 6 rings, Tom Brady, chimed in, tweeting, totally agree, Cheetah. Why not go 7 rings? And 55 touchdowns. Acho, do you like Tyreek Hill predicting 7 rings for the Chiefs?
Look, if anybody is going to chase, figuratively, someone, and Tyreek Hill chasing Jordan, I like Tyreek Hill in a chase.
I do,
because he's one of the fastest players in the league.
Ever.
But here's my thing. I hate what the Chiefs are doing right now. Because what the Chiefs are doing is they're taking a Sharpie, but really it's paint. Assume this is paint. Ooh. And they are painting a huge target on their own backs.
Mm.
They're painting a target on their own backs. Mm. Marcellus, it's much easier to be the hunter as opposed to the hunted. You love track and field, correct?
That's my favorite sport.
You love track
and field. That's my favorite sport.
Now, in track and field, you would rather be chasing because you know who you got to go get.
Mm.
When you are out in lane 8 and you have the biggest lead, it's a lot harder because you don't know who's coming for you.
Yeah, your mind be racing. I'll give you some of that.
The Chiefs, bruh, the Chiefs have been chasing, right? They've been chasing a title. They had been chasing the Patriots. They had been chasing. Well, guess what? They got to the finish line and they won the race. And now they out here talking reckless.
Reckless.
They talking reckless. But here's my biggest point.
Okay.
The problem is you got superstar players on the Chiefs writing checks that some of the non-superstars are going to have to cash.
Ooh.
You got superstars like Tyreek Hill, Chris Jones.
Yeah.
Them dudes are superstars, bona fide.
Mm.
They can do whatever.
Mm.
But the problem is, Tyreek, you not blocking for Mahomes.
No.
Tyreek, you not making no tackles.
No.
So you got some of these superstars out here, Marcellus, writing checks that they teammates going to have to cash. And they better not say insufficient funds when they get to the bank now.
Yeah. You've been here before.
Hey, haven't we all?
You're like, oh, wait, wait, my checking and savings work is just going to consolidate. Oh, look, this is beyond ridiculous. And I love the spirit of what he's talking about. We all have been there. Being an athlete, you're one in a million. Being an athlete, you got to have a little psychosis at times to take you to the places that are necessary for you to even just fit in, let alone succeed to the levels of a Tyreek Hill. But I hate to do this to him, but it took me somewhere. You know me. I'm the same guy my senior year in high school at the pep rally lied, told him we were going to win the division, win league, win CIF. We didn't win one game. But you know what? I got applause still for saying those lies.
Clap.
And don't just laugh at me, oh, poor Marcellus Wiley, you liar. I'm not even the greatest player ever walking the planet. Like maybe a LeBron James, who had the same kind of pep rally talk one time when he joined the Miami Heat. What happened is we're going to watch a video of the number one player in the world versus the number with the number three player in the world, Dwayne Wade, sitting there with another top 20 player and Chris Bosh, and they sit there at the pep rally, and what did they start saying? Let me get some of this.
Not two, not three, not four, not five, not six, not seven.
Oh, so not seven means eight minimum, right? But guess what they end up getting?
How many get?
Two maximum. So guess what? That's what the number one player, number three player, and another top 20 player. Tyreek, football is too damn fickle. Let's remind you of how you even got your one. Last year, you guys were in the AFC Championship game and won that game.
Mm-hmm.
But one play, one offsides, took away that, nullified that. And you didn't even get that opportunity to go to the Super Bowl. The next year, you're down 24 points at home. You're down 10 points at home. And in the Super Bowl, you're down 10 points in the fourth quarter. You barely get away. You barely get a victory. You barely get your ring. And now you talking about getting six more? I don't know what sport he's talking about, but it ain't football.
It's too hard in football to make these kind of bold, elaborate statements. Yeah. Remember, bruh, the Chiefs were 6-4 through 10 games.
Let's talk about
they
that,
were 6-4 through. Now, yes, Pat Mahomes got hurt. I get it. But that happens in football.
Mm-hmm.
People get hurt.
Yeah.
Like, the Chiefs then go on to that 6-0 run as they close out the season. But 6-4 through 10 games, and you hit the nail on the head. If Jimmy G, as we're seeing right now, would have just been, or as we're watching in the Super Bowl, if Jimmy G would have just been what Jimmy G was paid to be, which is a closer,
right,
which is a finisher, they might not even have one.
They might not even have one.
And they out here talking about six. I respect the confidence. As an athlete,
same.
You have to be ridiculously confident.
Yeah.
You have to be just crazy. You got to be able to talk crazy. You got to fake it until you can make it. But the problem is, out here, think about, bro, as a defensive player, you already have all the clipboard, bulletin board material you need.
Mm-hmm.
Every week going in to play the Chiefs, all you got to do is watch their sound bites talking about, we going for six, we going for seven. Oh, you don't need no more motivation as a defensive player.
Yeah, think about this. He doesn't know how hard it is, and it's easier to do in basketball. And we saw Jordan pull it off 6 of 8 in the 90s. So that's Jordan.
Mm-hmm.
And that's him being a basketball player. There's only five guys on the court. You go both ways. You have much more control. And they still didn't even pull that off. Jordan had to tap out. He had to retire and play it off. Like, oh, I got all these other reasons going on. No, you're tired, boss. That's what's happening. Now let's talk about football. Let's talk about the Kansas City Chiefs. Took them 50 years to win one. But now they're going to win seven. And how long is it going to take? Because the dynasty that we are watching that just ended was the New England Patriots. They won six. Mm-hmm. How long did it take them?
About 20 years.
20?
About 20 years?
How old are you going to be, Tyreek Hill, before you get that seventh ring? Let me just tell you something, brother. You'd be lucky if you even get half as many. Coming up, it was Nick Foles, not Carson Wentz, that brought a Super Bowl to Philly. So why is Wentz getting all the credit? We'll explain that next. Speak for yourself. Presented by Hyundai. Yeah.
Welcome back to Speak for Yourself, presented by Hyundai. Let's move on to Philly, where Nick Foles is still considered a hero after winning a Super Bowl and being named MVP in the game a few years back. So when Pro Football Focus put out their list for most valuable Eagle of the last decade, Foles had to be first, right? Wrong.
Ooh.
Carson Wentz came in first, despite not playing in the Super Bowl. He's followed up by Mike Vick. Foles came in third on the list, even though he was a part of the legendary Philly special. We're joined now by NFL analyst LeVar Arrington. But Marcellus, go ahead and kick it off. Get us started. Should Nick Foles be number one on that list?
No. Nick Foles should not be number one on this list, but he certainly should be higher than Carson Wentz, if you know where I'm coming from. Putting Carson Wentz number one on that list, how? You've played one quarter of January football, and this is a Super Bowl championship organization we're talking about. If this were the Cleveland Browns, then you could count all the regular season success and the almost MVP he had a few years ago. But if we're talking about the ultimate prize, which is winning that Lombardi Trophy, they did it. And they did it because Nick Foles had the baton in his hand, not Carson Wentz. But I got a wild card that is not even on this list right now that I want to throw into the mix. But just because I don't want to throw y'all off y'all game just yet, I want y'all to ponder that when I get this mic back, when I get this baton back. But I'm about to blow your minds because the guy who's number one is not even listed just yet.
I'm not even going to waste no time with you right now, Marcellus.
Okay.
Because Nick Foles is obviously the number one person on that list. And you just said so yourself when you said the ultimate prize comes down to who wins the Lombardi Trophy. Nick Foles brought Philadelphia. Nick Foles brought Broad Street. Nick Foles brought one NovaCare way, what the Eagles have not had in
NovaCare
ever. And so, of course, it's Nick Foles. But let me explain to you why, because I'm not going to speak for my emotions, although Nick Foles, he took me in when I was traded to Philly, so I am biased. I'm going to speak facts because, again, like I said yesterday and the day before, it's facts over feeling. 2017. Playoffs, divisional round, yeah. The Eagles, they face the Falcons. Mm. Matt Ryan, he was an MVP, an NFL MVP, just a year or so prior. Well, Nick Foles, he faces off against Matt Ryan. Nick Foles has the better game. Okay, next week, Eagles, Vikings, Nick Foles. Is he going to do it again? Is it not just a fluke? Nick Foles outduels the Vikings and Case Keenum. Okay, next week, they got to go to the Super Bowl. Clearly, the Eagles aren't about to beat the Patriots. Not the Patriots being led by Tom Brady, the greatest ever Tom Brady. Mm. Nick Foles just happens to out-duel, outmatch Tom Brady. Tom Brady, they throw him a pass. Wah, 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 wah. He drops it. Yeah. Nick Foles, the legendary Philly special. Hey, coach, you want to run Philly? Yeah, let's do it. He's a head coach and a quarterback. Nick Foles, he has a statue outside the stadium for a reason. The greatest Eagle of all time. In my book.
LeVar? I feel like I don't even want to touch this discussion because I mean, you guys tried so hard yesterday.
Oh, here you go. Living in the past.
Talk me down.
Oh, this dude.
Y'all tried to talk me down off this Tom Brady deal when I'm about to spank y'all with an intelligent, sensible state school.
I'm calling Child Protection Services.
You guys truly love talking over me so I can't make my valid points. And I love that about both of you. But I'm about to spank you right now, Macho Acho.
I want
to
time out.
I'm going to spank you real good, put you in the corner, and put your nose close to the corner of the wall until I tell you you can move. It is not no Nick Foles. Yeah. Nick Foles doesn't even come close to being in the top five, and it could be questionable even top 10. Of all-time great Philadelphia Eagles.
It's a decade,
that's
though.
First and
it's
foremost.
A decade, not right. All time. Not a decade now.
I'm saying decade, all time. I don't even care. All right, now think about this.
Do
think
you?
About this. Nick Foles was a part of the most historical season in the history of the Philadelphia Eagles.
Of course.
That's what you're using as your argument point. Every argument point you use was what Nick Foles did in the playoffs. Mm-hmm. But don't you have to make the playoffs? Don't you have to make the playoffs in order to be able to have a good playoff run? I see you rolling your eyes. But you know what Carson Wentz did, your guy that you don't even want to put number one on the list, Marcellus? You know what he did?
He
won 11 games and lost two before his injury, giving way to Nick Foles to play. Now, here's where I go at both of y'all and say this is pretty interesting that we would sit here and argue the fact that Carson Wentz isn't worth his weight in gold or Nick Foles is worth his weight in being the all-time greatest Philadelphia Eagle. Well, didn't y'all just say at the top of, we saw a soundbite at the top of the clip of the segment where y'all talking about we won Super Bowls in New England. It wasn't Tom Brady. It was one Bill Belichick. And Bill Belichick shows that he's this. And Tom Brady has to go here. So that would mean that Nick Foles needed to go to Jacksonville this past season and win a Super Bowl. He got hurt. That there was some legitimate reasons as to why. Oh, please. Not only was he hurt, but then he was let go. He isn't even a part of the Jacksonville Jaguar team anymore, Marcellus. That hurts more than the little injury he had on his shoulder. So if y'all telling me I got to prove to you that I can go win somewhere else to show the fact that it wasn't me or my coach. No, this ain't no stretch.
This is nonsensical. This is nonsensical.
And how is that?
This is nonsensical, Boulevard, because you were talking about what Nick Foles did in Jacksonville as if that has any bearings on what he has meant in the last decade to the Eagles. You didn't just move the goalpost. You brought a soccer goal in instead, and you just completely said, we're going to play a completely different game. How are you going to tell me about Carson Wentz's? First off, Carson Wentz, I got no shade for Wentz. To me, Wentz is top five, top six, top seven. But if Wentz had gone to the playoffs and not won a chip, Wentz would have just been in the conversation of Dak Prescott. Since Dak got in the league, Dak is one of the top five winningest QBs. But we're still debating Dak Prescott's greatness. Still. So it's not about what you do in the regular season. It's about what you do in the playoffs.
Yeah.
You play to win the game. Dang. A great philosopher said that. It might have been Herm Edwards. I do not remember. It was Herm. It's all about winning a chip, LeVar. You out here playing soccer. We trying to play football.
But that does not equate to being the number one player in the history or in the decade of the team.
Let me ask you this, LeVar, please. Can I ask you a question, sir?
Sure.
What is the number one moment for the Philadelphia Eagles in the last decade?
Oh, it's going to get quiet.
You're taking a moment. You can't take a moment and validate number one by one moment. You cannot.
Marcellus, I have no words for this man.
I got two names for you.
Please.
You may or may not remember these names. Please. One, Brad Johnson. You remember that name? I don't even want to ask you. You might have not have done enough prep work to know Brad Johnson.
I know who Brad Johnson is, sir.
You know who Trent Dilfer is?
I do.
Might be going too far back for you. That's going back to the early 2000s. You're going to tell me, based upon your thought process, the first Super Bowl that went to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, Brad Johnson was the quarterback of that team. Oh. The first Super Bowl that went to the Baltimore Ravens, Trent Dilfer was the quarterback on that team.
Sir?
Are you telling me, based upon your argument points, that we should look at Trent Dilfer and Brad Johnson?
Marcellus, I don't want to do this. Here's the problem. When you out-historian a person who lived during the history, Brad Johnson, was he MVP of the set Super Bowl? Was he? Because I think it went to a defensive player, sir. Nick Foles was the MVP of his Super Bowl, coach. Nick Foles played the best during the biggest moment of Eagles history. Yes. So if you want to talk history, just make sure you know this young buck, he knows his history, coach. My turn. Man.
Do you know, LeVar, stop fighting.
It's a wrap.
Have you ever heard of Malcolm Smith? He was a Super Bowl MVP.
Here you go.
Now you're minimizing the Super Bowl MVP award. Here we go. Just to win any argument, we will throw grenades anywhere.
You guys are selective in how you try to frame your argument. I don't like it.
I'm waiting for your wild card.
I have not even said who I think it is yet.
Yes.
Go ahead. You say it. Okay, good. Because I can guarantee you I'm a trumpet. Go ahead.
Okay. All I know is, look, I don't think Nick Foles should be number one or Carson Wentz, but Foles should be higher than Carson Wentz.
Okay.
I'm going to give you my evidence. Why? Foles only was the top passer for the Eagles once in that decade. Mm-hmm. And that was 2013.
Wow. One time
in the whole decade. Right. And that was 2013. Okay. Now, obviously, Carson Wentz has been there four times. But look how many wins Carson Wentz had. 7, 9, 13. And then two of those weren't even him. Okay. That kind of gets Carson Wentz out of there and Nick Foles out of there. Okay. You can look at the offensive rankings when Carson Wentz was out there balling. 22nd rank, 14th rank, 14th rank, and 7th. Mm. Top 10 once with Carson Wentz. Mm. So both of them get shot, pop, pop. But then there's someone who was there for only half the decade, for five years.
Okay. Who was there?
And he had, of those 5 years, he had three 10-win seasons. And he wasn't even a quarterback.
He's kind of shady. His name is LeSean McCoy. LeSean McCoy was the best Eagle of the last decade. Let me tell you why. 1,600 plus yards once, 1,300 twice, and 1,100 in only five seasons. More importantly, when this conversation is focused on a decade and it's called war, wins above replacement, no one in this conversation, Nick Foles or Carson Wentz, had more influence and impact on winning for the Philadelphia Eagles in the 2010s than one other than LeSean Shady.
I got a big joker to your little joker, but we're gonna run Boston on Acho right now. Just like a historian.
What you got?
Let's run that Boston on him.
What you got? Please.
There's a possible first ballot Hall of Famer that was on all them teams and went to six Pro Bowls during the course of that time period.
Ooh, in I know that decade.
Say his name. Say it out
Jason
loud.
Peters. Jason Peters.
So here the thing, Lamar. Here the thing. First off, y'all want to know what's cute?
Okay.
Let me tell y'all what's cute. Y'all watching at home. What's cute is how LeVar jumped on Marcellus's train after LeVar's went off the rail.
That's
Second off, 2-5, 2-live, Shady McCoy. I rock with Shady. The only undermining point for your argument, LeVar, because JP is the GOAT, is JP didn't even play in the Super Bowl. JP didn't even play in the majority of that season because, remember, JP went down. So the biggest moment of the biggest season of the biggest time in Eagles history, JP wasn't on the field.
Dang.
Nick Foles was on the field. So I just want to make sure, ladies and gentlemen, that y'all know. LeVar does his homework before LeVar come on this show because he forgot to read the fine line.
You cannot quantify a Super Bowl by greatest ever. Are you trying to say that Nick Foles should be rated higher than Reggie White?
No, man. We said the last decade.
Donovan McNabb?
Somebody bring in a field goal post because LeVar, he's playing field hockey now. LeVar, you're out here playing lacrosse. Okay, I got to go to break.
You're talking to Jason Peters putting paws on you, too.
Coming up, opening day got off to a fun start with Dr. Fauci.
Let's
throw out the first pitch.
Horrible.
Our Hall of Famer, Frank Thomas, will be here to talk about it. Next, speak for yourself. Presented by...
You got some nerve,
JP got paws. Tomorrow, Fox Saturday Baseball is back. Cubs clash with the Brewers at 1, Dodgers battle the Giants at 4, and the Yankees face the World Series champion Nationals at 7. Celebrate the return of baseball with a special tripleheader tomorrow, only on Fox and the Fox Sports app. Here to break it all down is our guy, Fox MLB analyst and Hall of Famer Frank Thomas, my friend from Spain. Remember that. We've got a ton to talk about, Big Dog, so let's get to it. Dr. Fauci got the season started off with a memorable first pitch last night. Let's just say it there. Have we reached a point where we maybe should stop doing these, or do you love it when it goes this wrong?
Not at all. Dr. Fauci's got a lot on his plate, man, and throwing strikes is not one of them. So it's always good to see guys come out throwing our first pitch because it gives us something to talk about. You can talk about this for the next month. You know what I'm saying? Easy TV.
Oh, man. I mean, can you help him? Frank, though, for real, like, how do you throw a ball behind you or sideways? Like, come on, Fauci. Like, is there anything?
That man didn't pick up a baseball. That man didn't pick up a baseball in 30 years. Come on, man.
I love him.
He's trying to figure this virus out for us. I love Dr. Fauci. Figure this thing out. Don't worry about throwing a strike.
I love the play on words. He got a lot on his plate, except the baseball getting over. Well, look, Frank, Giancarlo Stanton, he helped lead the Yankees to an opening night win. After missing most of last year with a variety of injuries, do you think he's a serious MVP contender?
If he's healthy, yes. You know, that's why he's one of the highest paid players in baseball. We saw what he could do at Miami, and now he's with the Yankees. Took a lot of heat last year, but the guy was injured. If he, you know, it's already to play a little hurt, but he was injured last year, two or three different occasions. He's had some time off. He's back. He looks powerful. He looks strong. He looks fast again. Yes, he's an MVP contender. But that team, him and Judge together, I mean, they're going to start walking those guys if both of them are playing at 100% right now.
Speaking of MVPs, you're a two-time MVP yourself. What are your thoughts on handing out individual awards like the MVP and Cy Young in a shortened season? You okay with that?
It's a sprint, man. It counts. It counts on the book. You got to have an MVP, you got to have a Cy Young, and you got to have a champion. So, no, I'm not against it. It's a sprint. We're going to see who's going to come out and play. Who knows? They might put an asterisk by it, but bottom line is the awards will go on, and I'm sure there'll be a great player who receives it.
Let me ask you, do you personally put an asterisk by it?
No, I can't. I mean, it's a season. You know, it's only 60 games plus the playoffs. Maybe they should judge it through the 60 games and the playoffs to get a legitimate candidate for the MVP.
Well, it was also just announced today that Toronto Blue Jays are going to be playing their home games at the AAA affiliate in Buffalo. Right. You think this helps or does it hurt their playoff chances?
I think I like it because I played that ballpark before. It's not a bad park. It looks like a major league park, and it's really close to Toronto. So if their fans want to come out and tailgate, they can't get the ballpark anyway. But still, they're close enough to their team. The media is close enough to their team. I think it's a perfect scenario for the Blue Jays if they can't play in Toronto.
Yeah, I was a Buffalo Bill. We made that drive a lot of times to Toronto for a lot of different reasons. Let me just stick to baseball.
Tell on yourself, Marcellus. Well, look, tell on yourself.
Hey, man, I'm married now, thank God. New playoff format in this shortened season. Instead of 10 teams, 16 teams will make the postseason. You like the change?
I love it. I think it put more teams into the playoff, more stars into the playoff. We got to see Mike Trout on the big stage. And this team, I mean, I just think it's great for the baseball. Having more teams, a longer playoff, and it's great for the network because the TV will make a lot of dollars off this extended playoff.
Yeah, we saw the Dodgers, they dominated. The Yankees, they dominated last night. But outside of those two teams, can you give us a team that people should be on the lookout for?
Man, look behind me right here.
Uh-oh.
You see that team right there? The Chicago White Sox.
Oh, here you
watch
go.
Watch out for the Chicago White Sox. You know what? This team, man, I'm telling you right now, it's the best team in all of baseball. Nobody knows about them right now. That lineup is as good as any lineup in baseball. It's thunderous. They got speed. They got power. And they got guys hit for average. Watch out for the Chicago White Sox this year.
No one knows how good they are. They don't even know. Okay, you homer. Let's talk about Clayton Kershaw.
Not been a homer. About a month, you can be like, wow.
Okay. So right
they're
now,
they're going to beat down some pitching staff.
All right. You're an ambassador, so I respect that. But let's bring it home for me and my Los Angeles Dodgers. Clayton Kershaw, they scratched for the Dodgers last night. He'll start the season on injured list. Big deal, little deal for the loaded Dodgers and the off-injured lately Clayton Kershaw.
Good for the Dodgers. They need Clayton Kershaw with David Price opting out. You know, that's why I chose them earlier. You know, they had three legitimate number one starters. But when you got two of the guys out, it's going to be tough for the Dodgers to get rolling. This is a 60-game sprint. You got to have your horses ready to go. And if Clayton Kershaw is hurt for a period of time, it's definitely going to hurt the Dodgers.
Yeah, now the MLB, they had its first coronavirus scare yesterday with Nationals Juan Soto testing positive, one of the bright young stars. Now, we knew this would happen, obviously, at some point. But do you like the approach of next man up and let's just keep things rolling?
Football mindset.
Well, they prepared for this. Freddie Freeman was the first one, actually. He's back in camp. You know, after taking 14 days off. But Juan Soto has won the game biggest and brightest stars. It's sad to see this happen right now, but I'm sure he's young and healthy. He'll be back in, you know, 15, 16 days, ready to go. But they're going to miss this kid because this kid is something to watch for baseball and definitely a legitimate MVP candidate.
All right, before we let you go, Frank, give us a prediction. Who wins the World Series in this short sprint besides your White Sox?
I'm going to tell you right now, it's going to be the Dodgers and the White Sox in the World Series. Dude. Watch out. Watch out.
How you still slide the White Sox in there?
Yeah. Yeah, Frank.
I've been watching this team for the last couple of years, the way it's built. Great youth, great veterans. We added the Parrot Master along with Abreu. I'm telling you, Eloy Jimenez, Roberts, Tim Anderson. This team has got thunder after thunder. And Yoan Moncada, who's a legitimate MVP candidate. Watch out for the Chicago White Sox this year.
Frank, your tickets are safe. You can't even go to the games. Why are you trying to say all these things? It's not going to come to
right
reality.
Now, I put down on them last night, Marcellus.
Oh. Eddie's in Vegas. Frank makes big. I know that's going to hurt. Literally. All right, Frank, thanks for it, big dog.
Hey, coming guys, up, keep doing your thing, man.
We will, man. LeBron's back, big dog, and the Lakers had their first scrimmage in the bubble. They lost.
Yeah.
We'll tell you if the King is on his way to a fourth ring next. Speak for yourself, presented by Hyundai.
Though some of our other favorite sports may be on hold, horse racing is still running strong with live coverage of top-tier races on FS1 and FS2 throughout July. You can enjoy horse racing from top tracks across the country all month long. Visit americasbestracing.net/strong to learn more. Well, LeBron James and the Lakers, they made their debut last night in the bubble. The Kings scored 12 points in 15 minutes, but they lost the scrimmage.
Say it again, loud with your chest.
But don't tell LeBron scrimmages don't matter. On his quest for a fourth ring, he posted this on IG before the game. Quote, let's get it. We back at it tonight. Can't wait. And it's just a scrimmage, not tomato. Championship mindset all the time. Joined now by one of my favorites, NBA analyst Slick Rick. But Marcellus, I'm going to start with you, big dog. Are you convinced LeBron will win his fourth ring this season?
Hell no. And if last night was any indication of this championship mindset, this is not going to be a championship year for the Lakers. Look, I know it's a scrimmage, but they don't have enough. Let me give you guys a simple logical equation that lets me know which team is going to win the championship this year. The team with the best duo plus the best bench is the best team, and that's the Los Angeles Clippers. Think about it. You can say whatever you want about this two-man game that Anthony Davis and LeBron are going to run, but the Clippers will be able to neutralize that. And then that's when the problems start for the Lakers. Who are the Lakers going to put in to keep up with the scoring prowess that is going to come off the Clippers bench? Lou Williams, Montrezl Harrell, even a Reggie Jackson, who may be our eighth, ninth man. Reggie Jackson could be starting half of the cities in the NBA right now because he's just open buckets. So LeBron James could go out there with a championship mentality, and I can see Frank Vogel right now saying, hey, plan A is we're going to run our two-man game and nobody going to mess with it except the Clippers. But what's plan B for the Lakers? You know what plan B is? Rest one of those two guys and hope and pray that they don't get too fatigued. That's not going to be good enough. Lakers, sorry, no ring this year.
Marcellus.
Not going to happen.
Bro, you're literally blinded by bias. You were blinded by your bias and your affinity for the Clippers. You literally can't see, bro. I need you to wake up, sir. Let me tell you why LeBron and them going to get this thing. Because it's not as if we haven't seen LeBron defy all odds before 2016. It's not as if we haven't seen LeBron tap into a space and a mindset where he can't be denied. I'm going to take you back on a history lesson. Y'all see the picture. 2012 Eastern Conference Finals versus the Boston Celtics.
He looked tired.
LeBron is like, hey, I got to put the whole team on my back. And what did he do? 45, 15, and 5. But I have to remind you, Marcellus, the greatest motivator in this life is not money. The greatest motivator in this life is not even necessarily winning. The greatest motivator is fear. And before that game, 2012, LeBron said, I was scared that if we didn't win this, Pat Riley was going to break this thing up, and we were going to break up as fast as we got together. Well, right now, LeBron is a little bit scared because he realizes his window for winning is closing each and every year. You got a condensed season. LeBron, it's really only a few teams that's going to get that thing. He knows he's one of them. You see the hashtags? Revenge season is coming. LeBron don't make empty threats, Marcellus.
Oh,
LeBron
hashtags.
Don't make empty threats.
Oh, hashtags. Stop it.
You know what? Not bad. Not bad, Acho. You weren't working with a whole lot, and you did best you could. But here's my problem. It's not that I want to make an argument against the Lakers. It's that I simply must. And I'm not wearing those blue and red glasses that Marcellus is.
Yeah.
Anytime LeBron starts selling, I start questioning.
Ooh.
When he says it's all about a championship mindset, it's not a scrimmage. It's championship mindset. I'm like, dude, you played one half. It's a scrimmage. We're just trying to get up to speed.
Exactly.
This should be championship mindset in this scrimmage yet. When he talks about the chemistry of the team and says this is a brotherhood in this franchise, you traded half the team last year, and you got two new guys that have been there about 5 minutes. And that gets to the heart of why I doubt that the Lakers and LeBron can get this done. Because if I look at every team during the shutdown, there are only two in the Western Conference that were hurt by it as a result. It's the Lakers, and it's the team that they played last night, the Dallas Mavericks. Mavericks lost Jalen Brunson and Dwight Powell. They're a bad match. That's a bad matchup against the Lakers or the Clippers. And by the way, right now, they're set to face the Clippers in the first round.
Bring it.
Meanwhile, the Lakers lost Avery Bradley, a guy who just wants to play defense and knock down big shots, and Rajon Rondo, who just wants to make plays for everybody else. They added J.R. Smith and Deion Waiters, who are all about, how can I get mine? How can I get my shots?
Get them.
That is going to be a challenge to their chemistry. And meanwhile, whether you look at the Blazers, you look at the Rockets, you look at every other team, they got guys healthy that weren't playing the last time we saw them.
Here's my thing with both of y'all gentlemen is y'all are taking the lazy approaches. Y'all are going for the low-hanging fruit, which is just so easy to grasp at. And y'all need to look at the bigger picture. Not everything in winning is tangible. Not everything in winning is necessarily roster-related. But let's talk about some of the non-tangible aspects, i.e. leadership. When I look at it, I look at the Clippers, I look at the Lakers, I look at the Bucks, I look at the Raptors. Because when you talk about teams like the Sixers, I just don't trust the leadership. When you talk about teams like the Rockets, I'm just not sure that the Russell Westbrook and James Harden are bona fide superstars, that they're bona fide leaders. Right now in the bubble, in lockdown, there's going to be a lot more to it than who's the most talented, who can stay the most focused, who can stay the most locked in. When you look at a team like the Lakers being led by the king, figuratively and literally, LeBron will keep the team in check to allow the players to maximize their talent. So, Marcellus, you're talking about the Avengers, which is the Clippers roster, and just all that talent. And y'all are talking about things that you can see, just the low-hanging fruit. But Slick Rick, you the analyst. Marcellus, you the Columbia grad. Can we please do a little more deep-level thinking and not just take the easiest route like water?
Well, sometimes you can overthink by trying to go too deep with your level of thinking. And he's been called a king since Hello, the Chosen One, right? Has he won more than he's lost in the finals? I just want to know.
Here you go.
That's why I love Slick Rick for pointing out when LeBron starts selling, y'all better not be buying, because that's when LeBron is insecure in his own surroundings. LeBron's tremendous. We get this. Duh. It's just LeBron doesn't always have confidence in what's around him. And then that's when he starts selling you and making you feel like you better get in on this. LeBron has sold us before on that zero dark 30-23. How many times? 9 times in the finals. How many times has that worked? 3. Okay. Fully activated. Remember that last year? I'm going fully activated. It's time for us to kick in. How did that work out? They didn't even make the damn playoffs. So when I look at this usage rate of the Lakers, Clippers, Rockets, their duos are in the top 20 in usage rates. And then there are teams on the outside like the Celtics and the Bucks who are deeper. But then there's one team that has the top usage rate and the best bench. And that's where I'm coming to this logical conclusion, without overthinking it, Acho, that the Clippers have the best squad.
Real quick, Slick, real quick,
thank
bro.
You
know people start reaching when they start using stats, they don't even know how they're the best usage rate. Like, they don't start talking about points, boards, defensive efficiency.
That's lazy.
He starts talking about the best usage rate.
Simple.
The people at home don't even know what a usage rate is. Slick, just say something to make some sense, please.
Acho, I give you credit for this. You are 100% right that whatever the Lakers have, the LeBron is going to get the most out of it.
So
that much is true. But under these circumstances, depth and versatility is going to be paramount. And any team that is relying on one or two players to be the engine, with the number of games that they're going to play and the short runway that they have, that's simply a recipe for disaster. And it's the same reason I don't believe the Houston Rockets are going to get anything accomplished. The Lakers are in the same boat, largely because it's going to be about depth and versatility, and the Clippers are ideal. There are a number of teams, the Bucks, the Raptors, teams that don't have to rely on any one player. In a normal situation, you'd say, hey, we got the best player, and we've got great chemistry. We can make this work. But under these circumstances, with the number of games that they're going to play, going right into the playoffs off of training camp, essentially, you cannot rely on one or two players. And that's where the Lakers find themselves at this point.
Yeah, Acho, you need to get used to taking these L's, because you keep calling me out for going to Columbia. You better put some respect on Slick Rick's name. That's a Dartmouth graduate right there. Let him know, Slick Rick. This is 2 Ivy Leaguers up here, baby.
Look, Texas was my safety school. I'm not gonna say.
Well, y'all too smart. Y'all overthinking the obvious answer. Coming up, the Chiefs are talking dynasty. And now Tariq Hill says KC is going to win 7 rings. Our resident Chiefs fan, Uncle Jimmy, he going to tell us what to make of all that. Next, speak for yourself.
Chevin? Welcome back to Speak for Yourself. Let's talk the Chiefs. Definitely not satisfied with one title. So Tyreek Hill made the bold statement
talking
that Kansas City could win not one, not two, but 7 rings. Joined now by Uncle Jimmy, AC's own. This is your team. Do you like Tyreek Hill saying the Chiefs will win 7?
rings.
Look here, Mike. It's on the streets of Kansas City where I was born and raised. It's where we bump Tech N9ne while y'all still listening to Purple Haze, all right?
Oh, Cam.
In Kansas City, we'll tell you something, Mike. Yeah. Hey, man, if we tell you that a duck can pull a truck, then how damn it, you need to pull a pookie monk, okay? Y'all ask me, can the Chiefs win multiple dynasties, win multiple Super Bowl rings? Well, Tariq Hill told you the other night. He said, must be, because must ain't don't sound too right. Ooh. Okay, I told you 2 years ago Patrick Mahomes is going to be the best quarterback in football. I told you 2 years ago that the Chiefs was going to be the best, win the Super Bowl.
Talk about it.
I told you 2 years ago this show was going to be great. Granted, it took us 2 years, but look, we finally made it.
That ain't got nothing to do with it. Y'all barely won one. How y'all going to win six more? Man, get out of my face. Have a great weekend, though. That's it for us. See y'all.